Malek. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
It has been
a...
Judicial order is very simple. It's simply the order that Yahweh created. And it's simply surrendering your will unconditionally to the will of Yahweh. And each of you have made that decision. Today we had a beautiful morning. Four precious souls were baptized into your family here. And scripture says there's more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than 99 righteous. And literally, when we were down there today doing the baptism, the cherubs in heaven were cheering and singing because Yahweh's family was growing. I'm so excited to come back here today and see that family growing. So I wanted to talk about the biblical baptism, the true baptism. Let's go to Acts, the second chapter, in verse 36. And this is the first sermon given by the Apostle Peter on the very first New Testament Feast of Shavuot. He's in the upper room where they kept the Last Supper. I was blessed one year to do Passover in the very room Yeshua did. If you come to Jerusalem, I'll show you the room. And Yahweh willing, maybe we'll keep Passover together. But Peter is given a very fervent sermon.
And
telling the people about Yeshua being the Messiah. And then he says in verse 36, then a surety, let all the house of Israel acknowledge that Yahweh made known that this same Yeshua, whom you crucified, he is both Yahweh and Messiah. And hearing, they were touched in the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men, brothers, what shall we do? So here we are 2,000 years later. And your elders are bringing the same message to the people here in Ethiopia. And the people say the same. What do we do about this? And here's the answer. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, each of you in the name of Yeshua Yahweh, for the forgiveness of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Spirit of holiness. For the promises to you and to all your children, and all those afar off, as many as the Master Elohim shall call. And with many other words, he earnestly testified and exhorted, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Now, baptism is not a ritual. It's the day you're entering covenant with Yahweh. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. even more important than marriage. Because we know Yahweh made one man and one woman. And once they enter covenant together, they have to stay together till one dies. But when one dies, the covenant's ended. In the kingdom, your husband or wife will not be your husband and wife.
Yes.
In the kingdom, your husband or wife here will not be your husband and wife in the kingdom. But we'll be all... I'm not sure if that's a good thing to clap for, that your husband or wife may not be your husband or wife. But I know why you're clapping. Because all of us will be the bride of Messiah. But the marriage covenant in this world is temporary. But when you enter covenant with Yeshua, it's forever. So this is very, very serious. And you want to make sure you do it the right way. Back in 1932, when the Church of God was growing very quickly, and there was a falling away of the Seventh-day Baptists. And many people were joining the Church of God. And Elder Duggar.
Elder Duggar.
And Elder Dodd.
And Elder Dodd.
They're the two that wrote the history book. They decided that they wanted to find out, how do we baptize properly? Because it's so serious, we want to make sure we do this the right way. So they had elders look in the Bible and do study on this. And they looked at the scripture I just read to you. What did Peter tell the people to do when they repent? Verse 38. Repent and be baptized, each of you in the name of Yeshua Yahweh, for the forgiveness of sins. They were dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say. Because at this time they're calling themselves Church of God. Elder Dodd started looking into where did this name God come from? And they find out God is the name of the Babylonian pagan deity. When Elder Dodd got together with Duggar and some of the other elders, he said, we're baptizing wrong. This was back in 1936 now. And he said something very interesting. He said, in the whole life of Yeshua, not once did anyone ever call him Jesus. See, in Hebrew there is no letter J. And Jesus is a hybrid. It's a name that doesn't exist in Hebrew. So how can you baptize in the name of Jesus? When he never even once in his life heard that name. Well, Elder Dodd, in 1938, then they studied this for 2 more years. On how to pronounce the name of Yahweh and Yeshua. And in 1938, they started Assembly of Yahweh in Michigan. I've been to this congregation many times. Their sister congregation with us. Elder Sam Graham there has been the elder there for more than 50 years.
And
even knew Elder
Dodd.
So, when we're talking about now baptizing in the right name, this is not a doctrine that I started. This is a doctrine that goes back to
1936.
Why did Elder Duggar, even though he knew the proper name, not baptize in the proper name? We don't know. Did Elder Duggar deny that the Creator's name is Yahweh? No, in his own writings, he says the Creator's name is Yahweh. Did he deny the Savior's name is Yeshua? No, in his own writings, he says the Savior's name is Yeshua. Then why was he baptizing in the name God and Jesus? I don't know. That's something we'll have to wait for the resurrection to find out. But in 1971, Duggar sent a man by the name of Schumacher to Kenya to do first baptism there. And there was 16 people ordained elders. And I forget how many people were baptized. Maybe
284.
Now in 1971, these people knew the name of Yeshua and
Yahweh.
And they told Schumacher, baptize us in the name of Yeshua. And Schumacher said no. He said, Duggar sent me to baptize in the name of Jesus. I baptize in the name
of
Jesus. And he ordained in the pagan name Jesus. Now when Schumacher left, the elders never rebaptized themselves in the proper name. So don't tell me that this is my problem. I wasn't there in 1971. But these elders there admitted they were baptized in the wrong name. And I said to one of the elders, if a Church of God person came to you today, and he said, I repented of my sins, I believe in the blood of the Son of the Creator for my sins, but he said, baptize me in the name of Jesus, I said to this elder, will you baptize him in the name of Jesus? And the elder said, no, I wouldn't do that. And I said, but you were baptized in the name of Jesus. Even though you knew the right name.
Thank you.
Yahweh says everything done in the dark will come to the light. The work started incorrectly. And pride held those men back from being rebaptized. I was baptized in Church of God. In the name of Jesus. But when Yahweh showed me his name, I was immediately rebaptized in the proper name. Why do I want to fight Yahweh? And you ask the Church of God elders, is the Creator's name Yahweh? Is the name of the Son Yeshua? And they say, of course. So I say, what are we arguing then for? It's the pride of man. The pride of man. The Church of God was so much worried about the fourth commandment on the Sabbath day that they forgot the third commandment. You shall not take the name of Yahweh in vain. Do you know what in vain means in Hebrew? It means to change, to falsify, or to make the name common. The name Yahweh is in your Old Testament 7,000 times. And Yahweh says, this is my name for all generations, Exodus 3:15. Isaiah 42:8, Yahweh says, I will not give my glory to graven images. My name is Yahweh. Each of you have a name. If you tell me your name, I'm not going to say, no, that's not your name. You look like an Edward. Of course not. Do you know how important names are in the Bible? Do you know that every Hebrew name has a meaning? Every Hebrew name. And do you know that every Hebrew name is transliterated into English? In Hebrew, the name is Adam. In English, it's Adam. In Hebrew, the name is David. In English, it's David. Every single name is transliterated but two. The name of Yahweh and the name of Yeshua. The most important names in all the Bible. And let me tell you why Satan so much wants to bring this false doctrine. Because what did we just read here about baptism? You are to baptize in the name of Yahweh Yeshua. See, Yahweh is not just a name. Yahweh is a family name. The Father's name is called Yahweh. And the Son's name is Yeshua Yahweh. And Yeshua means Yahweh salvation. And the same way when you marry your husband, you take the family name of your husband. And when you're baptized into the covenant of Yahweh, like I said, we're engaged then to Yeshua. And we're taking the family name of Yahweh Yeshua. Now, if you go to Acts 4, in verse 8, it says, then being filled of the Holy Spirit, Peter said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, listen. If we are being examined today on the good work of this sick man, by what this one has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that in the name of Yeshua Messiah, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, in this name, this one stands before you whole. This is the stone rejected by you, the builders. The one who has come into being the head of the corner. And there is salvation in no other man. For neither is there any other name under heaven having been among men by which we must be saved. One name in heaven and earth where we're saved. That name's not Jesus. There is no Jesus in Hebrew. There's not even a Jesus in Greek. The name Jesus doesn't mean anything. It's a mixture of a name. And probably even comes from paganism. But the name Yeshua has meaning. Because it's not only salvation, it's Yahweh's salvation. In Exodus 23, in verse 20,
Israel cho jara wid diok bad jandaro
Oh Israel
jara wid diok bad jandaro.
He says, behold, am I about to send you a messenger before you to guard you in the way and to bring you to the place which I have prepared. Be on guard before him and listen to his voice. Do not be rebellious against him, for he will not forgive your transgressions, for my name is in him. Yeshua said, I came in the name of the Father. The Father's name is Yahweh. The Son's name is Yeshua Yahweh. And it's a family name. We had four people baptized today in the name of Yahweh. See, like I said, when a woman marries a man, she takes the name of her husband because she becomes a family member of her husband. And then when the man and the woman have children, those children are legitimate. And the children have the name of the Father. Satan wants to take our legitimacy away. Yahweh says, you're not adopted, you're not orphans. But you are children of me. Children of the family of Yahweh. If you don't use the name Yahweh in Yeshua, you lose that. You become like the other churches. And like I said, Church of God was so much spending time on the fourth commandment, they forgot the third commandment. And the book of Jacob says, you break one commandment, you break them all. There are 10 commandments, not 9. And every commandment is important. Hebrews, the first chapter. I'll show you this again. It says, in many ways, and in various ways of old, Elohim spoke to the fathers in the prophets. In these last days, he has spoken to us in the Son, whom he appointed heir of all, and by whom he made the worlds. How is Yeshua an heir of everything? Because he's a son. The son is the heir of what the father has. Is a slave the heir? No, only a son is an heir, a child. Romans, the 8th chapter, says Yahweh made us children, that we call him Abba, Father. And we are co-heirs of the universe with Yeshua. But only if you take on his name. If not, you'd be illegitimate. So let's continue in the book of Hebrews. Verse 4, and he is altogether superior to the cherubs, just as the name he has inherited is a more excellent name than theirs. What are the names of the cherubs? Michael.
Michael,
Gabriel,
Gabriel,
Raphael,
Raphael.
See, all of the cherubs have the generic title of El.
Can they alter the generic title of El, Elohim?
Elohim is a good name.
Elohim,
it's a title. It's not a personal name.
Title, no, you.
Yahweh says, "I am Yahweh, your Elohim."
Elohim.
It simply just means deity. But it's not a personal name. So the cherubs were giving the generic name of Elohim. But it says the son is given a more excellent name. Because his name is Yahshua. With the family name of Yahweh. And then he continues. For which of the cherubs did he ever say, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." And again, I will be a father to him. And he shall be a son to me. And again, when he brought the firstborn into the world, he said, "And let all the cherubs of Elohim worship him." And to the cherubs he says, "Who makes his cherub spirits and his ministers a flame of fire?" But to the son he says, "Your throne, O Elohim, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." So do we see the importance of being baptized in the right name? Many are called, few are chosen. It's the difference of life and death. And don't let Satan trick you to think it's not important. Because the Catholics don't think it's important. And the Pentecostals don't think it's important. And the Protestants don't think it's important. But the congregation of Yahweh thinks it's important. Because we are the very children of Yahweh. Now, do we see rebaptism in Scripture? If the baptism was incorrect, yes. Acts 1,
in verse 4.
And Yeshua says to them, and while he ate bread with them, he charged them not to leave
Jerusalem,
but to await the promise of the Father, which you heard of me. For indeed John baptized in water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from here. So John was a good baptism.
John, a boy, you go on, let it.
Yahweh ordained his baptism. But still everyone was rebaptized in the proper name. Acts 19. We see the same thing. And it happened in the time Apollos was in Corinth. Paul was passing by the higher parts of the to come to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Believing, did you receive the Holy Spirit?" And they said to him, "We did not even hear whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Then what were you baptized?" And they said, "To the baptism of John." And Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in the one coming after him. That is into Messiah Yeshua." And hearing, they were rebaptized into the name of the Master Yeshua. And Paul laying hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. So again, we see rebaptism if it wasn't done properly. And of course, in Matthew, the third chapter, even Yeshua set us the example. Matthew 3 and verse 11. This is John the Baptist speaking. He says, I indeed baptize you in water to repentance. But he coming after me is stronger than me, of whom I am not worthy to remove the sandals. But he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. In verse 13, then Yeshua arrives from Galilee to the Jordan, to John to be baptized by him. But John refused him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But answering, Yeshua said to him, allow it for now, for it is proper for us to do it this way, to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. See, none of you created the problem that Duggar created in 1971. None of you created the problem of Schumacher coming and baptizing in the false name. But the ones and the elders who were baptized by the false name of Jesus and God, they created the problem by not being rebaptized
then.
Because like I said, from 1936, Elder Dodd was already preaching rebaptism. And every sacred name congregation in the world does rebaptism when someone comes to faith in the proper name. We're not judging the Church of God people whether they have the Holy Spirit or not. That's up to Yahweh. Why are we being rebaptized? Like it says here, to fulfill all righteousness. I was baptized in the name of Jesus in Church of God. I never heard the name Yahweh or Yeshua for 16 years later. When I found out the name of Yahweh and Yeshua, I wasn't thinking whether I received the Holy Spirit or not. That didn't matter. I wanted to be obedient. And I wanted to fulfill all righteousness. Because now I knew the right name. And I knew the Bible said there's only one name, people are saved. And I knew the name wasn't
Jesus.
So I humbled myself. And I was rebaptized again in the name Yeshua to fulfill all righteousness. Why can't these other men humble themselves? When this is the doctrine that was set down by Elder Dodd back in
1936.
If their baptism was incorrect, we're not asking to cut off the arm. We're not saying give us your first child. We're simply asking them, or you, to fulfill all righteousness. And it's a personal decision each person has to make. But we are on the side of righteousness. And don't let anyone ever criticize you for that. We don't have to make excuses when we're on the side of righteousness. I laid out very clearly why rebaptism according to Scripture should be. My question to those who have been baptized incorrectly, what's stopping them from being baptized in the right name? That's the better question. Not why did you get baptized correctly, but the better question is why were they baptized incorrectly? Praise Yahweh. I have one more thing I want to announce to you.
Take care of the Valaria, Melander.
Very quickly.
Capet.
Because we're running short on time. But something very excited.
Do you know, Mugwa?
Yesterday, some of you were with us. We went to visit the refugees. Down in the camps. And I was telling them that they were like the Israelites in the Bible. When the Israelites were captive in Egypt. And they had to flee Egypt to the wilderness. And now those refugees are in the wilderness. They're waiting there. But it hurt me very much to see my brothers, my sisters, living that way in these camps. And thank Yahweh for the camps. Thank Yahweh, they're giving food. But they're not really giving purpose. In the kibbutz model in Israel, you give everything you have, but you only take what you need. But the United Nations model in the camp is give as little as possible just to keep them alive. Without any purpose. That's not the way Yahweh does it. So we had a very nice elders meeting here today. And we set a goal. Within 6 months of today, we will be opening here in Kampala the very first kibbutz over here in Ethiopia. But it's not going to be based on the UN model. It's going to be based on the Israeli model. Everyone will have a purpose. And we'll grow food. And have animals. And be able to educate your children. Be able to serve Yahweh. So the elders are going to start immediately. Exploratory commission of what it will take to get this together. Then Yahweh willing, we're going to get a nice piece of land very close to here. And we're going to start the plan. And it will be the first kibbutz Yahweh. When the Israelites left Egypt, the wilderness was the bridge to the promised land. And Yahweh willing, I told you, we're trying to start the same kind of project over in Jordan. And so taking the brethren from the camps over here to Kibbutz Yahweh, and maybe either others we can build here, that will be your bridge from Egypt to the promised land. You know, when you look in the Bible at the Israelites when they were in Egypt, they went through trials for many years and suffered in slavery. And then when Moses comes to Yahweh, and he says to Yahweh, why haven't you heard the cry of your people? And Yahweh says, I hear the cry of my people. And that's why I'm sending you to them. Well, Yahweh's hearing your cry. And that's why I'm here today.
Yahweh bless. Next year in Jerusalem.
Yeah, we'll be there in Jerusalem.